You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC during this time of COVID-19 with our daily updates from some of the most prominent medical authorities in California. I don't think I can count the number of kind messages, whether they're emails, whether they've come via tweet or Facebook posts. We have heard from so many listeners who deeply appreciate this kind of up-to-the-minute, in-depth information. And I want to tell you what a pleasure it's been for me, because I'm trying to keep up just like you, and having an expert every day to walk us through this is absolutely invaluable. So, and I want to thank you for, as a listener, making it possible for us to do this every day. We're joined today by UCLA Fielding School of Public Health Professor Dr. Robert Kim Farley. He's professor of epidemiology and community health sciences. He also served in prominent positions as director of the Division of Communicable Disease Control and Prevention for LA County Department of Public Health. Dr. Kim Farley, wonderful to have you back with us on Air Talk.
Larry, it's really good to be back with you. And also, I just want to add my encouragement to your listeners to contribute to the work of KPCC as well during the fund drive.
Thanks. It means a lot. We appreciate it. Well, let's start with what's going on in California. Within about a half hour, we're expecting Governor Gavin Newsom to hold a news conference. There's some speculation as to whether, with rising rates of COVID-19, there might be some additional state regulations or restrictions put into effect. What do you think should be the public health response to the increasing number of cases we're seeing?
Well, I think the main thing to people realize is, again, this virus is not going away. We have to be maintaining our vigilance and all playing our parts to making sure that we are, when we're going out, putting face masks on, that we are trying to practice the physical distancing measures, because otherwise, again, we will start to see this reverse. It's not going to be taking a vacation anytime soon.
The infection fatality rate, you've noted that there's a lot of debate about this. And why is the infection to mortality rate of COVID-19 such an issue of uncertainty?
Larry, you've asked a very interesting question, and I appreciate the fact that you have distinguished this infection mortality rate. Usually what we're hearing in TV, radio, and the press is the case fatality rate. And that is, of course, made up of two numbers, the numerator, number of cases, and the denominator, the number of deaths, numerator, and then the denominator, the number of cases. But oftentimes, cases are going vastly underreported. We haven't had as much testing in the past that we're catching up on it, but still people with mild symptoms, for example, may not be tested. So that number is actually the 5% or so that you see if you just divide the number of deaths in the world by the number of cases in the world that are reported, is a much larger number, 5% or so. But there is this infection to mortality rate, which really takes surveys in the population to be able to measure who had antibodies that may have actually had the infection but not actually come down with disease, the asymptomatic cases, if you will. That denominator is a much, much larger denominator, and probably is around the 0.26 to 1% infection to mortality rate. And I think the reason why it's important is because I think that it actually causes controversy, in the sense that if this disease had a 10 times less infection to mortality rate, let's say at around 0.1.
Which is like the flu, right?
Seasonal influenza. And, you know, people say, okay, well, you know, that's not a big deal. And whereas if it had been 10 times higher, like at SARS, you know, this would then be, everybody would say, hey, we got to really follow all of these things. So at the 1% level, it's causing controversy. Some people following it, some people saying, well, you know, the economy is more important.
I think, you know, another factor is we're not getting a lot of information about how the virus is transmitted in the real world. I mean, we have our theoretical understanding of transmission, but the thought was we were going to have in-depth contact tracing so that the public would have knowledge about, you know, how many of these cases are spread at extended family face-to-face indoor gatherings, how many of these cases are spread with people, you know, gathering at beaches that reopen, that there would be much more usable information for people to determine comparative risk. Why haven't we gotten that?
I think it's, again, a matter of importance to actually be interviewing in detail the cases that we do know about so that we can be asking them, where were you in the last 2 weeks? You know, were you at a demonstration where people were not wearing masks? You know, were you at a political rally where people were not wearing masks indoors? Were you at a party? Were you at an extended family gathering? I think those sorts of things will help us better understand where these risks are, you know, or were you at, you know, essential service being a grocery employee? These are the information that we really do need to be able to better direct where our messaging is for people to make sure that they understand what the relative risks are.
And why do you think we're not getting that? I mean, you directed communicable disease control at County Public Health. Why is there just overwhelmed? They can't do this, or why months in are we not getting this information?
You know, I think in the sense that the LA County Department of Public Health is really doing a pretty good job when you realize that over 1,000 now, 2,000 cases a day coming in. They've got over 1,000 contact tracers. But it's just, again,
I think we just lost Dr. Robert Kim Farley. We'll get him back on the phone. If you have questions for him about COVID-19, as we do every day, it's a great chance for you to ask our noted physician expert to find out what's going on with COVID-19, our better understanding of the coronavirus. 866-893-KPECC. That's 866-893-5722. You can comment on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. And ask your question there. You can tweet at AirTalk. You can post your question on the AirTalk page. I think we reconnected with Dr. Robert Kim Farley. You were just in the middle of explaining for LA County Public Health the challenge in getting us detailed examples of spread.
Yes, thank you, Larry, and I apologize to you and your listenership for a temporary glitch, I guess, in terms of our connection. So I think it's just the challenge, again, of having, over 2,000 cases a day now. Although they have over 1,000 contact investigators with LA County, it's just a matter of the sheer volume and trying again to piece this data together. I think we'll be seeing very soon some better analyses, especially now that we've had a couple of weeks after the demonstrations in the street, things like this, and the fact that we now are opening up the economy more. I think we'll see some of that information coming out.
Speaking of the protests, throughout Los Angeles County, apparently there are a lack of appointment slots available for people who want to test. This after, apparently, there were surplus spots. They had a huge rate of no-shows of people who made appointments and didn't show, as well as slots that were never filled. Now we've got a problem this week where there's not enough capacity to test. So do you think that they're going to be able to turn that around quickly and create more capacity?
Yes, I think so. I mean, the sites can be increased and, again, brought in. You're correct. I think it's a matter of, you know, there's been kind of a waxing and waning of interest in testing as well as the availability because some of the sites had to be closed down during the demonstrations. But that capacity.
Well, are you there? You're cutting in and out on us. Dr. Robert Kim Farley of UCLA will try and get a fix on his line. We're at 866-893-KPECC, the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Tweet at AirTalk. You can also post on the AirTalk Facebook page. Dr. Robert Kim Farley is going to be with us, provided we can keep the connection with him good for throughout the rest of the hour. So there's abundant time for you to ask him questions about COVID-19, 866-893-KPECC, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. org. We'll make sure that we get him back on the line here. Also want to let you know that Governor Gavin Newsom has a news conference at 11 o'clock. We will be closely monitoring it, and we will bring you the very latest information on what the governor announces. If there are going to be any changes to the restrictions that are in place, the governor, of course, last week enacting a statewide mask order for people that is, you know, not universally followed, of course, but is was a move that the governor took. We'll see what comes out of this morning. So we're getting Dr. Robert Kim Farley back on the line of UCLA Fielding School of Public Health. Dr. Kim Farley, I think we got you now. So hopefully we're on a solid line. We're talking about testing and the fact that now there's a shortage of testing capacity.
Yeah, so I'm sorry again for this.
That's all right.
Problems. I'm back on my cell now.
Very good. So you think that they're going to be able to quickly ramp up the capacity to meet the demand?
Yes, Larry. I think there'd be the situation again kind of waxed and waned when we had the demonstrations. Again, as you pointed out, some places had to be closed down. Some places people did not show up for the appointments. But I think we'll see within the next week a rapid expansion back up to that capacity, full capacity.
All right. We have some listener comments, questions. Joanne in Irvine, what is the best type of face covering for us to wear? Is the surgical mask, for example, better than wearing a cloth facial covering? She also wants to know, you know, should she be masked at all times out of doors or just if there are people nearby?
Yes, thank you for that question, Joanne. So again, at this stage, the health department is still recommending the cloth face mask because the fact that we still have some shortages that exist with equipment that's necessary for PPE, personal protective equipment in the hospital setting. So that is still the recommended mask. In terms of the...
The other thing was about wearing it outside, but once you hold that thought, we'll continue with that when we come out. You're listening to Air Talk with our daily COVID-19 update with UCLA physician Dr. Robert Kim Farley. He's an epidemiologist and professor of community health sciences as well at the Fielding School of Public Health at UCLA. What a heartening show of support for Air Talk on KPCC. I don't know if you remember a few weeks ago, we had a one-day emergency member drive because the massive hole in our budget at that point dealing with COVID-19. And we, in 2 hours, raised nearly $200,000 on Air Talk. It was just an extraordinary show of support from listeners, unlike anything we had ever seen. And this morning, we are off to a tremendous start. I can't tell you how heartening and how deeply appreciated it is by all of us to have you supporting Air Talk. And right now, we're joined by UCLA Fielding School of Public Health Professor of Epidemiology and Community Health Sciences, Dr. Robert Kim Farley. He headed the Division of Communicable Disease Control and Prevention for LA County Department of Public Health early in the 21st century. Dr. Kim Farley, New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey announcing this morning that travelers from states with rising coronavirus rates will be required to isolate for 14 days. That would seem to preclude many thousands of people actually visiting the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area. Your thoughts about them implementing that?
Yes, I think the importance here, Larry, is that it's recognizing that, again, New York had put a lot of work, a lot of sacrifices into making sure that they could get down below that very sharp spike that they had. And I think they just don't want to see those gains eroded away by folks coming from other states that have decided that, we're not going to be following some of the more strict physical distancing measures, and we're not going to be masking. And so I think that it's prudent.
All right. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Veronica in Mar Vista asks, can the coronavirus be transmitted through a plume of cigarette smoke, or can droplets attach onto other types of particulate matter, such as dust or lint in the air?
Thank you, Veronica. In terms of smoking, the real problem would be if you ever shared smoking with someone else because you've had relatives and talking to them. But it's really the droplet spread are small enough particles that they will drop to the ground. So it's not going to be wafted in the smoke that's coming out.
All right.
That has been a very, great.
Silas says, how does a quarantine like the one in New York and surrounding areas get enforced? Silas, you might have read in Hawaii, and it's probably easier on islands to do this, but they were following people's social media. They were actually going out to beach areas and arresting people who had arrived on one of the Hawaiian islands and had not stayed in their hotel room or their rental house or whatever, and were actively enforcing. Now, obviously, doing that in a major metropolitan area, very different than on the Hawaiian Islands, where comparatively small numbers of people are arriving. But Dr. Kim Farley, any thoughts on how they would enforce this?
Well, there's certainly going to be challenging to enforce it. I think that, again, what will be relied on is people following the law that is being stated. And, with a goodwill to that, probably delaying their trip, recognizing it's not going to be very helpful if they're planning to do, a one-week vacation to spend it in a hotel room. So I think that there will probably be some selective enforcement where they can find someone that's, blatantly flaunting that rule. And that will be serving as demonstrations to some people, look, we're serious.
I was shocked to the degree at which Hawaii is enforcing it, it's made national news. It's quite astonishing. Joanne asks, I've heard of people using latex rubber neoprene masks. Are they effective? And how do you properly clean your mask after you wear it?
Yes, some of these masks have these vents in them, the latex, because otherwise they would be pretty hard to see through. The problem there is that this is pointed out in San Diego. In fact, they've allowed those type of masks that have the vents where, yes, you're filtering coming in, but when you're exhaling, it's going freely. So that's a problem. That's the type of mask he's talking about. That's something you want to see people using because your exhaled breath can go out without having.
Dr. Kim Farley, hold on. Your phone's cutting out on us again. I'm sorry. We're 0 for 2 on the phones you're using. We'll try and get that straightened out with Dr. Robert Kim Farley. And also we'll get the answer to the question that was asked earlier about whether individuals should mask at all times when they're outside or just when they're within close proximity of other people. What I typically see in my neighborhood, there are some people who mask at all times, but probably half the people have a mask with them for when they're going to be forced to go by someone, within 10 feet or so, that then they put that on. But otherwise, if they're way apart from people, not masking, but we'll find out. So, Dr. Kim Farley, what do you think, Joanne asking about whether when people are outside at all times, should they wear a facial covering?
Yeah, so I think the important thing to recognize is that when you're outside, you wouldn't need to have a mask unless you're getting within 6 feet distance of someone. That's the important thing to realize. But sometimes if you're in an area that you're going to have a lot of people passing by, even though you may not be at 6 feet at that moment, it's probably better to have it on because someone may be coming from behind you, for example, and being within that 6 feet.
All right. 866-893-KPCC, Air Talk page, kpcc.org. We had a listener wanted to know what kind of face covering you wear when you're out, presumably not at work, but when you're out in the world.
Yes. Yeah, so both my wife and I wear a cloth face covering. My wife actually designed ours. We even had some designed for our family, little cat faces. So we always make sure that we're wearing a face cloth covering, and we change it when we come back as well. One thing, too, if you've got a moment, I'd like to mention about, I really think there are really three protagonists, if you will, involved in the efforts that we need to be doing all together.
Yeah.
Individuals, businesses, and health departments. In the sense that individuals, as individuals, we have to play our part, be our protagonist, to be able to wear a mask, practice social distancing. As businesses, we have to make sure that we're cleaning high-touch surfaces, that we're not crowding the store, that people are waiting outside, distanced from each other. And as health departments, again, to be able to analyze this data, to be able to give us information about where extra efforts need to be being done, like, for example, nursing homes, things like this, to be able to work all three of these protagonists together. This is the secret of how we're going to ultimately overcome this.
If you were to wage a magic stethoscope and change the way we handle nursing facilities and other senior facilities, what would you do to make a significant dent in the fatality rate? We've lost so many of our older Americans in these facilities.
Yes, I think the recognition that, firstly, that is really where the deaths are occurring is extremely important. And then, as has now been done here in Los Angeles County, to make sure that we actually are testing everyone in the nursing home, staff as well as patients, to make sure that we don't have asymptomatic spread going on, that we can isolate those people who have the disease. And this is where we need to be putting maximum effort. Because over some half of the people who have died have been, elderly in such settings, congregate settings.
Dr. Kim Farley, what are your thoughts about the resumption of baseball? We're going to be joined our Triple Play next hour, and A. Martinez, Nick Roman, and I are going to talk about the reopening of the season. But do you think there's going to be significant challenges with keeping players healthy even without fans there?
Yeah, so I think the important thing is, again, there'll be testing being done to make sure that, you don't have asymptomatic spread that then becomes symptomatic. I think it's just going to be important that they, practice good physical distancing measures when they're not, actually playing.
All right. Mark in Culver City asks, are serological tests going to become more widely available? And is there an accurate serological test?
Yes, thank you, Mark, for that. You're correct. There are a number of different tests out there, some less accurate than others. So I think that as we get the information from the Food and Drug Administration, as they move away from these emergency use authorizations for tests and actually then approve tests, they'll be making sure that the sensitivity and specificity of the tests are high and will be accurate. I think we'll see more and more of these becoming available. They're more being used for surveillance tools at the moment to find out exactly how much spread has occurred in the populations, but I think this will become helpful to us because then people will be able to see, maybe that cold-like symptom or flu-like symptom that I had, a month ago could have been COVID-19. You could find out whether, in fact, you are now immune to COVID-19.
Dr. Kim Farley, thank you so much, as always. We really appreciate how kind you are to share your expertise with us, and I look forward to talking with you again soon. Stay well, please.
Thank you very much, Larry. Sorry again for the technical difficulties from time to time.
That's all right. Thank you, Dr. Robert Kim Farley, professor of epidemiology, community health sciences as well, UCLA's Fielding School of Public Health. Joining me for just a quick update on a preliminary magnitude 6.0 earthquake in Central California is KPCC science reporter Jacob Margolis, also the host of the very popular podcast, The Big One. Jacob, what do we know about this quake?
Yeah, so far, pretty much according to USGS, it's a 5.8 magnitude earthquake, although those numbers kind of shift a little bit until everything's solidified. It's unclear if there's been any damage, but it was big enough for us here in Los Angeles. I'm seeing a number of people messaging me online about it to get an early earthquake warning. I got one here in Northridge in the San Fernando Valley. I don't know if you did. I did not feel any shaking, but some other people have said that they have. Like I said, the amount of damage right now is unclear, or if there's been any. It's pretty far out there. This is the same area that was hit last year, July 4th and 5th, with the Ridgecrest quake. And so we just kind of have to wait and see. I'm sure there's plenty of scientists rushing out right now to go check this out and possibly survey any sort of surface ruptures in the desert before the weather makes them less certain.
Less notable, yeah, and certainly been a seismically active year out there, that part of Central California. Jacob, thanks so much. We'll look forward to updates this afternoon. KPCC science reporter Jacob Margolis.